Hi, I'm Scott Hansman. This is Azure Friday. When we talk about services in Azure, we see mobile services and web APIs and all these kind of things, but we don't ever talk about the kind of the basics and the fundamentals. So we've got Matt Veloso here to talk about hypermedia, OData, REST, and some fundamentals, and then we'll use those fundamentals to build on in future episodes of Azure Friday. Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure.
Okay, so you want to talk about hypermedia, OData. These are all kind of buzzwords.
Yeah.
Can you break it down for me?
Okay, so mobile services, mobile devices are becoming a very popular thing. And you have to build web services that fit into that word, right? And you have to make them flexible. You have to support all sorts of different devices and scenarios. And you don't want to have to rebuild your services all over again. Mm-hmm. So Microsoft had to figure a standard that we can apply to Office 365, to Azure, to any web service. So once you get that standard, you understand how it works, you can walk across different services and not have to learn everything again and learn other standards again. And so our standards, it's called OData, and it's all based on hypermedia concepts. So I think first step is to explain what is a hypermedia API, and then explain what OData adds on that, right?
Because you've got hypermedia at the core concept.
Yeah.
Ideas like REST, which has obviously swept the universe, the world. And then there's the kind of question of why is OData needed and what does OData add to it?
Yeah.
There's the OData protocol at the envelope level and the body of the message, but then there's also the URLs.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes. So there is this kind of concept, and it's not really standard, it's just an idea that we call HATEOS. Don't say that too fast.
It looks like HATEOS.
Yeah, that's, well.
That's what I see when I see it, but you don't pronounce this.
Oh, that's how I say it. I don't know how people
HATEOS? Prefer.
Yeah.
Hypermedia as the engine of application state.
Yes. So what's this? So hypermedia is everything web, right? So it's hyperlinks, HTTP headers, anything that makes up web what it is. And application state is anything your web service has to remember about that session, what's going with that user and those calls. So we're basically saying we want to keep application state into the hypermedia concepts with links and headers and these things. So I'll show a practical example of what that means in the real world.
Would one way to say that would be to say, let HTTP work for you? Like
yes.
The semantics of HTTP, the concept of headers, the codes. Like HTTP is more than just gets, posts, 200s, and 404s.
Exactly.
Like, that's what we all think about when we think about HTTP, but there's some rich semantics there.
Yes.
Let it work for you.
Yes. Let's take a web service before applying these concepts and after, so just we can get an idea. So imagine you have an order management system, and I call get order by ID. I have an ID here, and I get this thing back, right? And I look at these items, and I look at the status, and it says active. What does active means, right? Is it done? Can I cancel it? Can I change it or something? This active status, it doesn't tell me anything about in which step of the workflow I am right now.
In my day, we would call something like this POX.
Yes.
Plain old XML.
Exactly.
Somebody does a get with a made-up URL structure. They get back a document that means nothing to anybody.
Yes.
With a funky-looking date and an arbitrary string.
Yes.
Plain old XML.
And it could be JSON, it could be something else, but still, I have to understand where I am in this big workflow this web service is part of, mm-hmm. right? So imagine if I had the same web service, but imagine that if beyond the order ID and the active status, I had a couple of links, and one link saying cancel, and this is where you go to cancel, and the other one saying edit, and this is where you go to edit, right? There's a lot of value here. So first, it is telling me you can actually cancel this order because you have permissions to do so, because the order is active, because it hasn't been shipped yet. So there's all this business logic going on with the web service. And it's abstracting away from me, just saying, there you go, this is the order you asked for. And by the way, these are the things you can do with it right now, right? And this is where you go to do it. And this could be even in a different server, on a different cloud, on a different web service. it's actually helping me to navigate this hypermedia of things, right? All these links across. And that's the fundamental value of hypermedia, right? It's really giving those details so my client application can be simple. I don't have to repeat this logic on the client side.
Like, back during the rise of RSS readers, you would go and say, Hanselman.com, I want a subscription.
Right.
And it would go, I don't know, that's HTML. I don't speak HTML, I speak RSS.
Yeah.
And then you'd have a little badge on your, and someone would have to look for the little orange RSS thing.
Yeah.
But then they said, link rel, and then you'd have the MIME type or the information, and it would allow someone to say, here's an alternate version of this page. It allowed discovery.
Yes.
So you're saying that there's semantic discovery happening here.
Exactly. And not just that, but I could have a collection of orders that came from two different systems, right? A legacy one and a new one. And it's telling me this particular object you just got came from here, right? So that's, you know where things came from. Well, so that's hypermedia, and that's, so far, I'm not talking about anything specific Microsoft here. What OData does is, on top of that, it adds a few things. So OData is an open standard, and I think the thing to be clear is, you don't have to use anything Microsoft to use OData, right? It's completely open. You can go there and build your Node.js and host whatever you want and still use those standards. It's just a way of simplifying web services. And you can do interesting things. You can query things, right? Imagine for a specific scenario, I just want two attributes of an entity. The entity has 50 attributes, but I just want name and city. So for bandwidth, I want to be able to say, just give me name and city.
I see. So you want a projection. There's a person projection object with name and address and birth date and everything about, but I just want his first name, his last name, and his city.
Right.
I want a projection, not the object, but a filtered view of that object.
Yes. So this, so basic rule in the database world is you never do select star, right? You always say, just ask what you want. Same concept here, right? Don't overload your bandwidth asking for things you don't care about. So you can actually say that in your HTTP request, as you can also filter. You can filter by things. I can actually put my where clause and say, well, I just care about these many records. I sort by this, filter by that. So it's kind of like you're writing a query on a HTTP URL, right? And so this adds a lot of flexibility. If you think about, for example, Facebook. Facebook has, what, 9 million apps using Facebook APIs. They cannot predict all the scenarios these people are building, right? They have to build a web service that's flexible. So they came with this thing called Facebook Query Language. That's great for them, but we need to figure a standard that works across the board. So if you go to SharePoint Online, if you go to Exchange Online, you need to be able to speak the same language. That's the language we found that works for us. And that's OData. That's the point of it.
So if I were going to make, or I have already an existing ASP.NET web API or some web API that looks like REST, it's like CRUD over JSON, but I want to add basic filtering, I could invent my own query language. I could use Facebook query language or invent one where I say my query equals and then have some expression of it.
Yeah.
Or I could adopt the filter standard like this or select using OData. And in that case, I would be taking a custom web API and then having OData semantics on top of it. I don't necessarily have to convert my entire application over to the OData standard, right?
You don't have, and people usually when they see this, they say, oh, but hang on. So it means that you'll be able to query my entire database and do whatever you want. No, of course not. I think on top of this, you can enforce your authorization rules. So you can say, well, yes, you can filter by this column, but not by this one. You can ask this thing, but not that one. So then you can start enforcing the rules around what people are allowed to do or not.
Right.
So we have a framework, a platform that will let you do it with your own web services if you want to. That's an option.
Yeah, I mean, if I've got a customer database that's public and I want to allow someone to query names of people, let's say that they just want first names. Why query 10,000 people, bring all their information back if I'm just going to for loop over it and spit out their names?
Yeah.
I can go and filter out stuff, select a projection, and then say top 10 and get the first 10 and just their first names.
Yeah, and the beauty of it is if you're using something like ASP.NET Web API, this is built in. So we assume that's what you want. And then if you don't want that, you can just say, well, in this particular case, I just don't want to allow people to query. That's fine. So it's the default behavior. Just make it easier for people to build this sort of thing.
All right, cool. So we're going to look at these concepts in the next episodes of Azure Friday, how it relates to Office 365, SharePoint, and other services all running on Azure here on Azure Friday.
Thank you.